Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We started looking at the subject, enemies of the kingdom. Enemies of the kingdom. Father, we thank you for this precious morning. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of coming to your presence, of teaching your precious people. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask for your help. We ask for your help. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, so enemies of the kingdom. And this is the second part. And last week, we said that the enemies of the kingdom were demons. They were demons because whereas the message of the kingdom that was brought by Jesus, among other things, is to restore rule over yourself and over the earth to you, demons are ruling spirits who prevent you from having full control or full rule, total control over areas of your life that they invade or they influence. Okay? And we ended by saying that demons cannot possess a Christian spirit. A Christian spirit is already possessed by the Holy Spirit. So demons cannot possess a Christian spirit, but demons can obsess the mind, or the soul, which is made up of the mind, your will, and your emotions. Demons can obsess the mind, and then they can also oppress the body of the Christian if the person gives them the chance. I remember we saying that our spirits are saved, our souls are being saved, and our bodies will be saved. And because our spirits are already saved, demons cannot possess our spirits. But the soul which is being saved is described in the Bible as the battleground where the war is being waged in the area of the soul or the mind, the emotions, and then the will. And our body will be saved when Jesus Christ comes in the rapture. Now, I want us to start today looking at two very important questions which we have to answer. The first one is, do Christians need deliverance from demons? Do Christians need deliverance from demons? And I want us to look at the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. The Bible says over there in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us. And please underline delivered us. It's in the past. He has delivered us from the power or from the control or from the rule of darkness. You know, darkness there is talking about the devil. It's just like the darkness that had covered the face of the earth in the book of Genesis. The Bible does not mention in the King James that Satan was had influence over the earth. But it rather says darkness is the same word being used here or the same way it's being put here. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Now you'll notice that the Bible says that we are delivered already. Christians are delivered already. So the question is, do Christians need deliverance from demons? Have we not been delivered already? And I want us to understand that we have been delivered already, but we need to take our deliverance by faith and enforce it by expelling demons. Hallelujah. So although we are already delivered, yet we need to enforce this deliverance. How do we do it? By confessing that we are delivered and by expelling devils because of the authority we have that we are already delivered, then we can bring deliverance to the people of God. It is just like healing. We are already healed according to 1 Peter 2 verse 24. So Bible says that by whose stripes you were healed. So when you pray for healing, are you praying amiss? Not really. Because although you are already healed 2,000 years ago, yet you have to enforce the healing by taking it by faith and by expelling sickness when it tries to attack you or away from your life. So that is how I want us to understand. It's just like what Peter also said, that we are prosperous or we are provided for already. The Bible says in the book of Peter that he has given unto us. That is talking about the past tense. He has given unto us already everything that pertains unto life. That's talking about provision for this life. We are prosperous already. He has given it to us already. Does it mean that when you pray and you ask God for something, you are praying amiss? Not really so. What it means is that you are enforcing that which God has already provided for you. So I want us to understand that in all of the things that Jesus Christ did for us, whether it is prosperity or being provided for, whether it is healing for our bodies, our minds, and all that, I want us to understand, and even salvation, it is, the price has already been paid. But you must take it by faith and you must enforce it so that it becomes a reality in your life. So, to the question, do Christians need deliverance? I need to make us to understand, yes, Christians, although we are delivered already, although we are healed already, although we are blessed with everything that pertains unto life and godliness already, yet we need by faith to enforce these things. The second question that baffles the mind of people when we talk about devils or demons is this question. Can Christians be under demonic influences? Can Christians be under demonic influences? And I want us to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I will answer that question from that scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What we are looking at is, can a Christian be under demonic influences? Can I be under demonic influences? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 1 to 6. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly or very clearly that in the latter times, and please underline latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits or lying spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things. What things? What the Spirit is saying clearly, that in these latter times, demonic activities are going to rise. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. So the Bible is clearly teaching us that in the latter times, in other words, if we believe that we are living in the last days or the latter times, then let us hear what the Spirit is clearly saying. That in these times, some people shall depart from the faith. That means that they were already in the faith. Hallelujah. They were already believers. But he says that they are going to leave the faith. They are going to depart from the faith as a result of giving heed to lying spirits or demonic spirits. And these are some of the things that they are going to speak unto people. They are going to speak lies in hypocrisy. Because you see, seducing spirit in the Greek is talking about a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit. Okay, so these spirits are going to cause people to speak lies and hypocrisy. And what the Bible is talking about is concerning Christians who are going to speak lies, and they are going to speak it so well, hypocritically. You must understand that hypocrisy was something that Jesus Christ decried. One of the major things he decried in his bid to establish the kingdom. He said that these religious people, they put on a facade. On the front, they look okay, but inside is full of dead men's bones. On the front, they are like whitewashed, very white and beautiful, but inside is bad. And they are hypocritical. He said that the living of the scribes and the Pharisees is hypocrisy. In other words, they are going to be deceptive. They are going to be like lying. They are going to lead a lying life. And it is a result of demons or demonic influences. So to the question, can Christians be under demonic influences? The Spirit of God is telling us clearly, expressly, that in these days that we are living in, demonic activity is going to rise up. Although people are going to explain it away, maybe with psychological terms and all that, we know that the Bible has said very clearly that in the latter times, it's not going to be something that we can explain away with psychology or maybe human behavior, but it is something that the Bible has clearly said is demonic. And people are going to be hypocritical. They are not going to marry. And in the latter times, this is how this is talking about Christians. So, because they know that we are living in the latter time, they are going to come out with doctrines that say that, well, it is not even important for us to marry because Jesus is just coming. It is not important for us to have families. It is not important for us to plan our life. It's not important for us to have children and things like that because the end has come. These are deceiving spirits who are going to let some people depart from the faith that was once delivered unto us as a result of heeding unto demonic spirits. So Christians can be under demonic influences, and they can cause Christians to even leave the faith. Hallelujah. Now, having known these two things, I want us to look at our arsenal against demons. And we wrote it on the board last week. I want you to go back to it and let us look at our defenses against demons. If demons and their activity is going to be rife in this day, should we be able to discern them? Should we be able to recognize demonic activity? I believe so. What are the defenses that we have against the most effective weapons that the devil is going to unleash upon the world right now? I mean, in these days, that's demons. But I want us to understand the arsenal that we have in the light of Isaiah chapter 9. So if you quickly go to Isaiah chapter 9 and then verse 7, I want us to understand the basis of our defenses against demons. So Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about the establishment of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ brought upon his shoulder, Isaiah chapter 9 and then verse 7. He says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment. And please underline judgment. He's going to establish it with judgment. You must understand very quickly, if you go to John chapter 16 verse 11, that one of the work that the Holy Spirit is going to do is to convict the world of judgment. Of judgment, the Bible says, because the prince of this world has been judged. So let us bear that one in mind even as we read. He's going to establish the kingdom with judgment by pronouncing judgment upon demon spirits, the princes of this world, or if you like, the rulers of this world. Demons are ruling spirits, controlling spirits.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
And with justice from henceforth, even forever. And look at the last phrase or the last sentence. It says that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, the establishment of the kingdom that Jesus brought upon his shoulder, which demons are enemies of, is going to take the zeal of the Lord to establish this kingdom. And he's going to establish it by bringing judgment and by causing the Spirit of God to come into the world to pronounce judgment. That is why Jesus said, if I with the Spirit of God cast out devils, then you must know that the kingdom has come upon you. Hallelujah. So I want us to understand the basis of our defenses against demon spirit is the fact that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are going to rise up in themselves to deal with the enemies of the kingdom. So that his kingdom will be established in your life. It will be established in your family. It will be established on this earth in our society. Hallelujah. It is only going to take the zeal of the Lord. In other words, if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, you'll get to understand that Jesus has saved our spirit. But he's continually making intercession for us to be saved to the uttermost. In other words, for those parts of us which are being saved, that is our minds, and our bodies which will be saved, to also be saved. So that our salvation becomes a total thing. Not just a spiritual thing, but also permeating our souls and permeating our bodies. So what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, you already have it down. You wrote it last week. Is that the Son of God, Jesus himself, is not going to allow the devil or demons to have a field day in your life. He is making intercession. You are not alone in your fight against demon spirits. Jesus is with you making intercession so that these demon spirits will not be able to invade your life and you will not, they will not stay in your life so that you will be able to expel them the way that you must handle them. So that is the first thing I want us to understand. The first arsenal is the work of Jesus in interceding that we are saved to the uttermost. The second one is in Isaiah chapter 59. And we are going to do a lot of Bible opening. It's good. It's very good because this is a school. So Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, very popular scripture. But I want you to listen to it very carefully. In verse 17, the Bible talks about God doing something in his own zeal. He was clad with zeal for a cloth. That's the ending of 17, Isaiah 59. Now, if you come to 19, he says this. All right, let's read from 18. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the island he will repay recompense. And he's doing it in his zeal because he did not find any man. The Bible says that he put on righteousness by himself. And in his own zeal, he went ahead to punish his enemies. Look at verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, that is from the east. When the enemy shall come in, and please underline, come in, like a flood. Note, like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, shall lift up a standard against him. Now, the Bible is talking about the other person of the Godhead. We have seen Jesus doing it against demons. Now, we are also seeing the Holy Spirit going in his zeal to lift up a standard against his enemies. And look at the characteristic of the enemy. It says that the enemy comes in. He tries to enter. He tries to infiltrate. Come in where? Where is he coming in? This thing is talking about the Holy Spirit standing against evil spirits or demons. And he says that when they try to come in like a flood. Like a flood means that they are coming in a way to overwhelm you. They are coming in a way to control you. Because a flood is talking about a controlling current. It's something that you cannot handle, you cannot control. So it counts like a flood. Says that when the devil tries to do that, when demons try to do that, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And I want us to know something very important, that the enemy is coming in like a flood, in an overwhelming, compulsive manner. And the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up a standard. In the Hebrew, the word translated lifting up a standard is the word to put to flight, or to chase, or to expel. In other words, when the devil comes in, like in a demonic form, tries to come into your life, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in his zeal is going to put him to flight, or he's going to chase him, or he's going to expel him. And he's doing this in his zeal. You must understand all throughout the Bible that the Holy Spirit always stands against demon spirits. Right from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. When darkness was upon the face of the earth, the Spirit of God at the same time was hovering over the surface of the waters. At the same place to chase this darkness out. And that is exactly what God did. Now let's look at the book of Malachi chapter 3. And let us see the zeal of the Lord. God the Father also going out of his way to establish his kingdom by expelling or dealing with demon spirits. It's also a very popular scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. It talks about tithing. When you tithe, God says that I'm going to do something for you. It says, bring all the tithe in verse 10. It says in the latter part that I'm going to pour out a blessing unto you. And look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit. And please underline fruit in each case. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And please underline the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is talking about, in the Hebrew, host is talking about tzava. That's the word. And it is referring to a mass of people, a regiment that is organized for war. So God says that if you pay your tithe, there is something that I am going to do on your behalf. I am going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he says that I am going to do it because I'm going to take it that this one is a battle. This one is a war that I'm fighting. So when he says that pay your tithe, he describes himself that I am going to be a warrior when you pay your tithe. In verse 10, he says that, prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the Hebrew people will understand this as not the God of whatever thing, but a God who organizes his army to go against his enemies. An enemy that he has to deal with himself. on your behalf. And so he says that because I am warring against your enemy when you pay your tithe, I am going to rebuke the devourer. And I'm going to prevent the devourer from eating your fruits. Says that I will rebuke him for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit. So the target of the devourer is your fruit. And he says that I am going to rebuke the devourer. And please underline devourer, because it's important. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 8 to 10, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. But note the word devourer over there. So God is describing an enemy, and he says that the enemy is a devourer. And the purpose of the devourer is to eat your fruit. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, the Bible says that be sober. Be sober in the Greek means abstain from wine or all influences. Be vigilant. In the Greek, it means keep awake. So, abstain from all influences and keep awake, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And please underline devour. It's the same word in Malachi, or the same thing God is talking about. Seeking whom he may devour. Says that whom results steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while in resisting the devil, he himself will come and make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So he says, to him be glory and dominion, or authority, or the rule forever and ever. The Bible is talking about the same thing in Malachi. In Malachi, God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now in Peter, God says that there is an adversary who wants to devour you, and you resist him. But the God of all grace, who has called you to his glory, is himself going to establish you after that you have suffered a while. What the Bible is saying is the same in Malachi, that God in his zeal, after you have suffered a while, he himself will come upon the stage and deal with demon spirits. And that is the third arsenal that we have. We have seen Jesus doing it. We have seen the Holy Spirit doing it. We have seen God the Father doing it. So you must know and understand that we are not alone in this battle. But look at, let's look at the fourth arsenal, which you wrote down. The reference is Matthew chapter 18, verse 33. The other arsenal or defense that we have against demons is a forgiving spirit. It is a forgiving spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, the Bible makes us to know that if we do not forgive one another from the heart, God is going to allow the tormentors to torment the life of brothers who fail to forgive from the heart one another. Jesus gave a parable of a certain servant who owed his master, let's say, 10,000 Ghana cedis. And because the servant could not pay the master the money, the master forgave him. Now, there was another servant who owned the servant who had been forgiven 10,000 Ghana cedi. Alright? And he went to the servant and paid me. The servant says, I have patience, I will pay you. And the servant who was forgiven didn't have patience and threw his fellow servant into prison. And then Jesus Christ, it came to the attention of the master, who said that, oh, you owed me 100,000 Ghana cedis. Because you couldn't pay, I forgave you. And this person owed you 10,000 Ghana cedis. How come you did not forgive him the way that I also forgave you? And Jesus Christ ended by saying, so will my heavenly Father do to every one of us if we do not from the heart forgive one another our trespasses. Because what the owner or the master of the first servant did was to give the servant who owed 100,000 to the tormentors, to torment his life until he paid the 100,000. So Jesus concluded saying that if you do not have a forgiving attitude, then you are going to allow demons to come into your life and to torment your life. So the arsenal we have against our defense against demon spirit is for us to have a forgiving spirit. Because when you forgive and you walk in the attitude of forgiveness, demons cannot touch really your life. That is why in the book of Corinthians, Paul said that once this guy who was handed over to the devil has been forgiven, he has repented, you also forgive him, lest Satan should have advantage over us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness is one thing that allows demons to torment the life of a Christian. Forgiveness is a necessary condition for you to be free from demon spirits. For demon spirits to be expelled out of your life, you need to have a forgiving spirit. Don't forget that. Now, the fifth arsenal that I want to talk about is our authority to expel them. Our authority to expel demons. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 makes us to understand that in my name they shall cast out devils. So you should not be afraid of devils and their activities that the Bible says clearly are going to be rife in our day, in the latter times, because you have the triune God, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, in their zeal to establish the kingdom in your life, asking you to do certain things so that they will take care of the devil. And you also have a forgiving spirit that does not allow the devil to play around your life. And you also have authority to expel them, which you should exercise in your life. So these are our defenses. These are our arsenal against demon spirits. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.